Welcome to Revere Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
And Don Vandenborg.
Telling it like it is.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny, Tim, and Don will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
Because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, and it matters even less what Danny thinks.
And now, here's your hosts, Danny, Tim, and Don.
One of the best parts of doing this radio show is that I just, the lights go on, we start talking, and I get to do whatever I want. And Danny kind of goes along for the ride. That's a...
Should be rethinking that.
No. Well, that's a trust. that's a trust thing right there. And so that's earned. That's not how it always was in the early days of the show, but then you find your rhythm, you find what's working, what people respond to, and then you just keep ideating on that, and that's what we've been doing. But this whole show, I'm looking at my run sheet here, Danny, that I want to accomplish. I have a whole get a process segment with Under Armour that I want to get to. I want to talk about pullbacks to the eight.
I'm still thinking about ideating.
It's ideating. And then I want to talk about, I don't like the buy what you know crowd because it doesn't always work. And I think it stymies people. And I want to help them out with that. Yeah. But before I do any of that, and I want to talk about next week in the market. But before I do any of that, I need to tell you, how frustrated I am by television. And we have our producer, his name's Kenny. And so Kenny and I will talk before the show. And Kenny will send me notes back on the things that we talk about. And so I was talking to him last week or the week prior, the two Fry Festival documentaries that I still haven't watched that I desperately want to watch. And where we'll talk about Kenny as a young son that he has corrected me
that
on
you
that.
Thought was
yeah,
a daughter
yeah, I thought it was a daughter. Yeah, and so, but
and sometimes we talk to Kenny on air when we're actually producing live on
yeah,
air.
Yeah, yeah, and so Kenny does if you haven't listened 2 weeks ago, Kenny did the best. He does a great job producing, but he did the best job producing ever, merging my fascination with Vivaldi and Don Vandenborg, the portfolio extraordinaire from St. Augustine, Florida, his fascination with the Motley Crue. And so and so Kenny did a great job. So now, last night, it's about 9 o'clock, and Tanya's wrapping up work that we were doing, and I'm just done mentally. And so I sit on the couch, and Tanya and I just don't sit on the couch and say, we're going to watch TV. We don't have any programs we're watching. We watch The Office to actually wind our brains down so we can go to bed. And so there's just not all these shows that people talk about. I haven't watched a one of them. And so I'm you know what? We've got Hulu. So I have DirecTV Now. I have Amazon Prime. I have Hulu and Netflix. And when I tell you, dude, I don't watch a damn thing on there. I mean, Tanya will put on something occasionally. Reagan is really into David Attenborough, the animal shows. And David Attenborough is awesome on Netflix. And so, I'll just walk by and those are on. Or, you can just drop in on those. You don't have to commit to those types of things. And so last night, I'm what's this Hulu all about? What's on Hulu? And so I'm skimping through here. And they've got all of these documentaries, and I just start complaining to Tanya. We need to have nothing but a Saturday where we're watching nothing but all of these shows. So Kenny, this is where Kenny comes in. Kenny, I know you've got the Hulu, so tell me if any of these interest you, because I pick the ones that I am interested in. So clearly, I like documentaries, right?
Yes,
I don't know
yes,
if I can emotionally
yes.
invest in a movie. So there's the Roger Ebert story called Life Itself. Remember Siskel and Ebert? Mm-hmm. It details the ultra competitiveness with Gene Siskel His life as a writer. He wrote Valley of the Dolls. Did you know that? If anyone knows that reference out there.
I did not know that.
Right? So, by the way, the way I chose all of these was to watch the trailer. Okay, so I have watched the trailer.
I've watched
the trailer. So that's how I qualified all these. Okay, so it's called Life Itself. It's Roger Ebert's story. Then Roger Ebert got really sick. He had cancer. Then he couldn't talk, but he still kept writing and he still kept communicating, even though he couldn't talk. And so
now, did he write the book or did he write the screenplay for the movie? Because there was a movie. It was a good movie.
He wrote it.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm going to just go with he wrote it, and I don't know. Yeah. Okay, now there's something called the China Hustle. So we've got Life Itself and the China Hustle. Now, listen to this. So all those ADRs that come over across the, on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ.
Like Chinese stocks traded on the New
York. Yeah, yeah.
American Stock Exchange.
They're depository receipts, The American depository receipts. And so they're ADRs. And oh, that makes sense. That's it. You said the American. Okay, so anyway. So when you're when a foreign company wants to list, it's typically an ADR. And so the China Hustle is all of these companies that have ADRs on the American Stock Exchange, and they're not companies. Like, they're just shells. Like, they're just literally buildings. And so the documentary goes through how when investors would come over to take a tour of their, quote-unquote, investment, they would turn on the lights and turn on the fountains, and there's satellite imagery of, like, it's 10:30 local time, and the fountain is off. And then at 10:45 local time, the fountain goes on. At 1 p.m. after the meeting ends, the fountain goes back off. Like, it's all of this shenanigans. And it's like the biggest scam. Like, I'll never buy a China stock again if I watch this thing. And so
like pumping up penny stocks, man.
I'm telling you what. So I cannot wait to not watch the China Hustle. Listen, if I make it through one of these Stock Nerds and Market Lovers, we're going to be all great. But the fact that I've got this list that I need to get through and tell me about all the things I want to watch, maybe that's my 2019. Who knows? Okay, so there's a what?
Well, I was going to say very quickly.
Go ahead.
When we were with Norm in a previous life, we were a small public company, and we could have actually sold our public, you know, cleaned out the shell, and sold it to multiple Chinese
bidders,
because you're already public. Could have sold it for $2-3 million just as a company.
Now, Stock Nerds, if you want this list, just email me, tim@revereasset.com, or better yet, Danny's taking copious notes here, dan@revereasset.com. Get a hold of us, talk about us, complain about my opening here. My opening. Because I want to talk about Under Armour, and I want to talk about how you buy pullbacks. I want to talk about
Vivaldi's crew.
Maybe. Yeah, Vivaldi crew. Yeah. But we're going to get the stock stuff. But this is important. Like, okay, the China Hustle is stock stuff. I can call that.
That qualifies.
Okay, so it's on Hulu. Maybe it's on other services. Who the hell knows? I don't watch enough TV to tell you where to find any of this stuff other than what I did last night. The Wolf Pack. Mm-hmm. Is about like six boys that all lived in the same New York City apartment, and their parents never let them outside. What the hell? Like, these kids were their kids, and they weren't allowed to go outside. It's called The Wolf Pack. Okay, the next one, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts. If you're a wrestling fan, Jake the Snake was the biggest deal in the 80s, man. And man, this one's a tearjerker. This one is, it is him getting broke down as a man, as a human being, and then resurrecting his life. And I watched a 2-minute trailer, so if it doesn't end well, don't tell me. I think it ends well.
You need to stop watching trailers. You'll just get a whole list of.
Oh, I got a couple more here. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which there was a movie that came out. So I went to go see, what the hell was the movie I saw with Tanya? Anyway, I went to see a movie with Steve Carell. It was a serious Steve Carell movie with Tanya, either at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. I can't remember. And there was a trailer for the Ruth Bader Ginsburg movie, like legit movie. Well, this is the documentary about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and all the work that she did before she, long, long before she ever became a Supreme Court judge. She, all her work to bring equal rights to women and just fascinating.
She did voluminous amount.
Yeah. And so I'm really excited to watch that. I'm probably really behind. People are probably all, from what it looks like from the trailer, I am the last person to join the Ruth Bader Ginsburg train. Mm-hmm. So apparently I'm really slow here. Okay, tear jerker alert. This one is going to absolutely rip your heart out. It's called Far From the Tree. And so Far From the Tree is about children who, quote unquote, maybe don't fit into their families. Oh, dude. This one, I watched 2 minutes. This looked at Tanya. I'm like, I can't, I'm not going to be able to watch this. I'm going to cry through the whole damn thing. So maybe, oh, it's going to be awful for Tim, but I'll watch it. But it's got like maybe it's got one young child who's autistic and they're struggling. And they finally get this kid to talk. And the mom comes on. She's like, I finally can talk to my son. It's he's like eight. And so, and then there's a child who was this young, happy, vibrant child. And then he went the way of drugs in jail. And oh my gosh, this thing is a tearjerker, but I'm going to put myself through
it. And what's it called?
It's called Far From the Tree. Okay. Yeah, like I'm totally into watching all these documentaries that I won't watch, but I'm going to try to make an effort here.
You're like my wife, and she starts scrolling through Netflix to look for a movie.
Yeah.
And she watches a trailer or like series. There's series. Yeah, yeah. Mini, and as she sees one, I'm going, oh my God.
No, I won't watch
now,
series.
Now we got another thing that we got.
All of these are about an hour and a half, so yeah, I can figure this out. Okay, this one I debated on. It's called Eating Animals. So I looked at Tanya before I even got to the trailer, and Tanya's like, stop bothering me. I'm trying to get work done so I can go to bed. And so I said, Tanya, I can't watch this because I'm going to become a vegetarian. Because look, the joke is here, I want animals, and Danny knows it's like cows, goats, sheep. And if I get
you want a petting zoo.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want. I want a freaking petting zoo. And here's the thing. If I get the animal, I'm not going to eat the animal. Hey, weren't you a Marine? Yeah, I was, but it doesn't mean I hunt and kill. They made supermarkets for people like me. And so if I get a pig, I don't know the gumption in my stomach to eat bacon.
All you got to do is name it. Once you name it, it's...
Oh, I'm screwed. They're all named. Like, I don't even have them, and they're all named. And so I'm screwed. And so this thing is Eating Animals is the documentary. And it's Natalie Portman and some other dude. And they're narrating. But it's not anti-animal. Mm-hmm. So I got lucky here. It's anti-factory farm, mm-hmm. where it's more of the grazing and the way farming techniques were done.
Sure.
So it's not anti-meat. Which I got lucky
it's
on.
That's the way they're processed, right? Yeah. The big volume, the corporate.
Yeah. Is. Okay, Fry Fraud was the Fry Festival documentary that I want to watch that I haven't watched yet. If you haven't heard
Fry
of it.
Fry Fraud?
Yeah, no. Fry Festival, have you heard of it? Yeah, it was, oh my God, this guy's going to prison for like 6 to 8 years for like hosting a horrible festival that never took off. But he took everybody's money.
Okay.
It's a big deal. Okay.
Fry Festival. I thought you were talking like fried foods. I thought it was like the Texas State Fair or something.
or Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, right.
Bunch of Ronald McDonald lookalikes getting together for Fry Festival with the Hamburglar and Grimace. Okay. Euro Dreams of Sushi. It's this Japanese man who is supposedly the best sushi chef in the world. And he's in a subway station in Japan. But it's not, it's, I guess, from watching the trailer, it's really how much you put into your craft and how much love and care. But then he's got a son. And Euro is like a gazillion years old, and his son's getting old too. Will his son ever measure up? And the thought is, what's the quote from the trailer that his son would have to be twice as good as he is now to be half as good as his father?
Wow.
It's a lot of pressure. And so it's really interesting in that regard. Okay, something called Obey the Giant. I don't know if anyone has ever seen these Andre the Giant stickers on people's cars or road signs. Or the guy who did those stickers and people just plaster everywhere also designed the Obama Hope poster. So it covers it, and a lot of people copied it, and he went after them. And so there's a lot there. Okay, Monkey Business. This is a little funny, and it's only funny because of how I read the description. Okay. I'm going to show you the screen. You see the screen? It's Curious George.
Okay.
You verify that.
Yes,
you're okay.
Yes.
So this is on Hulu. Monkey Business, The Adventures of Curious George's Creators. That's, well, that caught my eye. And I'm like, well, I like the Curious George. Let me read what this is about before I watch the trailer. This is exactly how it's written, Danny. I'm not making this up, okay?
Good.
Featuring a narrow escape from the Nazis on makeshift bicycles.
Wow.
No. I thought it was the freaking Curious... Before I realized it was about the creators of Curious George,
right.
I thought they made a cartoon of Curious George escaping the Nazis on makeshift bicycles.
Right.
I was so lost for like 2 minutes. I was like, Tani, what the hell kind of Curious George is this? And so anyway, apparently the creators of Curious George escaped the worst ever on makeshift bicycles. That took me 2.3 minutes to figure that out. I think Tanya might have pointed out the, no, it's not the monkey, you idiot. It's the creators of it.
It's the writers.
Yeah, it's the, yeah. Yeah. So enjoy that, stock nerds. Okay, Maurice Sendak. It's, you know the book Where the Wild Things Are? Oh my gosh, a famous children's book, Where the Wild Things Are. Okay. Most, 99% of our audience will know this book. There's a whole documentary on it. It looks great. And then there was a movie in the 70s called Serpico.
Yes.
Okay, so there's a documentary on Frank Serpico, what that movie is based off on. Yeah,
based on a true cop.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Serpico goes back and he goes through all those cases and stuff. So I want to watch that as well. So that is Tim Goes to the Not Movies and maybe to the documentaries. Maybe. Okay. Ready to do some stock stuff?
I am, and I will say right now, I'm going to say you won't watch maybe but one of those.
I'm going to watch one of them. I'm going to give it a go. That's my problem. Reading and research takes up a lot of time. Okay, so under Get a Process, okay? So okay. We started that series, Get a Process, at the beginning of the year to help people. And a lot of folks will hear me say first price, then news. And I like to take the moments when I can to elaborate on that concept. Can you just explain real quick what first price, then news means?
Yeah, sure. So everybody tries to, or a lot of people try to, they hear a news story in the Wall Street Journal or on the media, CBS, it doesn't matter where it is. They hear the news and then they think, ooh, this is going to happen next to stocks. This is going to affect stocks. That's already been priced in.
Mm-hmm.
The price of the stock has already moved because you've got big institutional money, you've got hedge funds that have got boots on ground. They're following this stuff. They're right there as the story breaks or even ahead of the story, and they know. Now, right. One better.
Go ahead.
A lot of times, certain parties may even kind of create the narrative because they've already positioned themselves to take advantage of it.
Right.
And then lastly, a lot of times, the market will just do what it's going to do. And then they'll create the story around to try to explain what happened. So you always want to watch price, not the news.
So the reason why the markets are so difficult for so many is because it feeds on our human desire to know. And so the collective you, stock nerds and market lovers, your loved ones, are always looking for the why. You're always told to ask questions. Why is that happening? And you need it to make sense. And I need to explain this concept to you, and it'll be very simple. You'll say, I didn't need that explained to me, Tim. Thank you. But you're not thinking about it. I know people know this. They're just not thinking about it. So the market gets tripped up on news it doesn't know.
Yes.
Most things that people call news are known already to the market. And so just think about it. You could take Danny and I were talking this morning about the what's the probe, Mueller probe.
Yeah, right.
Okay. If it was going to have some kind of material effect on the market next week, it's my belief you would see that already reflected in price. But maybe there's going to be an elephant in that report and it takes the markets down. But there's a lot of people that believe that whatever the Mueller report says, this market's going to tumble because Trump's going down. And I tell you this not because I know it or profess to be any part of the Mueller report. I actually don't pay attention to it. It's that I believe price reflects what the market knows. Like a lot of people say, is a trade deal priced in? I say, I don't know. But the thought that a trade deal is happening is what I believe the market believes because of the way it's acting in price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that I believe if the market thought there was no trade deal, you would see a much different market right now. And maybe you get that market. Who knows? But this illustration I'm about to give you is probably the ultimate first price, then news I've ever seen. Okay. So yesterday. So on Thursday, Kevin Plank, the CEO of Under Armour, or it came out in the news yesterday, was called in front of his board of directors and questioned about a relationship he had with, or has, with Stephanie Ruhle, an MSNBC news anchor who used to be a managing editor at Bloomberg. She's a business reporter, okay? Mm-hmm. And this story isn't about Stephanie Ruhle or potential infidelity. This isn't me castigating upon any soul, believe me. What it's about is first price, then news. Under Armour, when supposedly maybe all of this started or towards the beginning here, Under Armour was pricing out around $45, $46 a share. If you look at UA, Under Armour UAA, there's two classes a share, was pricing out at 54.7 or 55. And what the problem here is not that Kevin Plank may have been not faithful. They're both married. It's that he was soliciting advice from Stephanie Ruhle.
They're insinuating insider trading.
No. He was getting advice on business decisions.
Okay.
He rebuked management decisions and was taking advice from this person, this news anchor, who may or may not be his mistress on company jets. And so, well, Tim, what's the big deal with that? Well, you're going against the people that in your company supposedly know. That's one. You didn't disclose your relationship to your board. Why would you? You know, Jeff, would you? That's probably two. But the third thing is where it gets really interesting. And I don't know how this turns out. This is the interesting part for me. UA went from, on the UA shares, Under Armour, just ticker symbol UA, went from $45, $46 a share to $20.
Ouch!
Under Armour, UAA, went from $54.55 down to $21.22. Now, so you're, I guess, whatever management decisions Kevin Plank was having trouble with or the market was struggling with, meaning they were telling Kevin Plank, we think these are your management decisions, where are you trying to fix your company, ideate constantly about your shoe designs? And specifically, shoe designs came up in the articles I was reading. And yeah, you because you were friends, we'll use the word friends, with this Stephanie Ruhle of MSNBC, who used to be, she's a business reporter from the Bloomberg. What damage did you do to shareholders? And so there's just pause on that for a second, stock nerds and market lovers, as I segue now to first price, then news. So many of you are enamored with, and I am not one of these people, buy what you know, buy what you know. And I think it does a disservice because there are times in life where you can buy what you know, like, hey, it's 1998 and I just bought something from this thing called Amazon, and I'm going to hold through 497% drops in its stock value, but I'm going to come out really ahead. Okay, there's the buy. That's my cynical take on buy what you know. And then there's this buy what you know. You buy Amazon clothes. Amazon dominates high schools too, by the way. And so your kids are wearing Under Armour. Under Armour dominates the school scene. Your kids are wearing Under Armour. Steph Curry, one of the most famous NBA players, he's wearing Under Armour. And so you just want to buy what you know. And Under Armour keeps going lower and keeps going lower and keeps going lower. But man, fundamentally, this stock is going to outperform because
fundamentally it's getting better and better.
Right. But that's the point.
Right.
When it took like 3 years here, a couple years
to
get to the
20
Y.
to 40.
To get to the Y.
Yeah.
It took a couple of years to get to the news part of my sentence. First price, then news. Mm-hmm. But Under Armour has been an underperforming weak stock that should not be owned. It's not in the top 5% fundamentally. It has not been in the top 5% technically. And it took several business cycles here to get to the news that Kevin Plank was taking advice from someone who may or may not be qualified to give him such counsel on business decisions that have materially affected the price of Under Armour. But for so many of you, you hold on to things because you know, because it's fundamentally this stock should be going higher. That's like saying, you know, my car should be driving, but it doesn't have any wheels. Your car won't be driving because it doesn't have any wheels. And so you telling me that a stock should be going higher means you don't know how the market operates. That's a secret, stock nerds. I'll let you in on that. When someone tells me a stock should be doing something, it triggers in my head the thought right away that this person doesn't understand how stocks and markets work. Sit on that for a second. I'm not saying someone I'm talking to isn't smart, isn't nice, isn't kind, isn't thoughtful. I'm saying that when someone tells me a stock should be going higher, it tells me they don't understand how the market works. That the best indicator of a stock's direction is price.
Is what it's doing.
It's the most accurate up-to-the-moment indicator you could ever look at. It's price. And so when someone will tell me, buy what you know, and fundamentally this should be going higher after taking a 50, 60% bath in something, that's a clue that this person isn't yet equipped with the knowledge that I had to learn. Very hard-learned news, by the way, that it's first price, then news, and price is the ultimate indicator. I give you another example because I don't want to just berate Kevin Plank here or denigrate anyone. How about video games? Okay? So let's take it a step further.
Okay.
By the way, there's not always, let me just throw in here, there's not only something nefarious when a stock goes down in price, but some of you come to find out at the end of the rainbow, it is something like Kevin Plank hooking up with this Stephanie Ruhle, and oh, by the way, you've lost 50% of the value of Under Armour. Okay? Sometimes it is that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not every time. So don't misunderstand me, stock nerds. So how about video games? And look, we did a lot of work on video games last year. I don't know if I owned one of them, to be honest with you. I don't think I did. Don owned a couple of them, but the key words here, owned a couple of them. And I want to get, don't let me forget to come back to that point, okay?
Okay.
So a lot of you, you understand that the movement to video games is huge. Fortnite, which is some components of Tencent. You've got EA, which is Electronic Arts, Take-Two, TTWO, Activision, ATVI, right? Those are the three big ones, right, in this country. So you got EA, mm-hmm. Take-Two, and Activision. And you know that Amazon has Twitch, and Twitch's, like the Twitch channel on Amazon rivals the viewership of some basic cable channels. That's how many people worldwide are watching other people play video games. No, you laugh, but it's amazing because they want to get better. They want to see their, you know, like if you're really into whatever the video game du jour is, and I don't know what these are, you're going to watch other people really good at their trade. Just I don't think in my mind it's any different than young kids who play basketball or football or whatever, and they want to watch other athletes play that same sport. I don't view it as any different. Mm-hmm. Twitch is their outlet. And so, well, then I should probably buy the video game makers who are making all this great content. Oh, the buy what you know crowd rears its head. So over the last year, so I'm going to give you year to date and last year, and it's not going to only lead me to a discussion of buy what you know crowd. It's also going to lead me to a discussion of time frame, okay? Because people can make really bad stocks look like really good ideas when they're talking about time frame. So I always ask people, what's their time frame when they tell me something about a stock? So Electronic Arts. So year to date, it's up 18%. So if you're a buy what you know crowd, you bought it January 2 when the market opened, you're like, yeah, man, my kid plays EA FIFA soccer, and I buy what I know, and look at this. I'm up almost 20% in EA. Got my whole retirement account in EA. Yeah, but if you held it for a year, going back the entire trading year, 1 year from when we're taping this, it's down about 24-25%. That's not, you mean to tell me the trend in video games just started in 2019? So what's your time frame, right? Have you been buying? So if you bought EA in 2018, you don't feel as good as the person who bought it in 2019. How about Take-Two? Minus 17% for 2019.
Ouch.
Right? Minus
a little dichotomy there.
Minus 20% for the year. So going back 1 year now, okay, not year to date is minus 17. Going back a calendar year, it's minus 20. ATVI, which is Activision, minus 11% for the year, okay? Minus 40% going back one calendar year.
Wow.
But yet, supposedly, it's record numbers of gamers. And so there's going to be somebody that's thinking this. Don't write into me. Write into Danny, dan@revereasset.com.
Thank you, Dan.
855-REAL-WEALTH. There's going to be somebody that's going, well, you're not getting it right, Tim. There's all these other ancillary type things like Turtle Beach, which makes the headphones. And there's all the other services that provide the downloads and the encryption for the games and all a bunch of other stuff that I don't really care about. My point is that you'll go on to your source of information, whether it be TV, whether it be a website, whether it be the blogosphere, and you'll find somebody.
You mean the marketing places.
Yeah, you'll find they're all marketing folks, and you'll find someone who's going to tell you that video games are the next big thing, and you need to get in like right now, like yesterday. You should have been buying, and
kind of like Bitcoin.
But Bitcoin actually went up. Right. It just people don't have a sell discipline. That's different.
All right.
So, but this trend doesn't sync up. And so it's the market is a forward-looking vehicle. So these stocks went up in advance.
Right, already.
Yeah. Of the news items, of the feature pieces, just because it's new. When I say news stock nerds, I mean all those feature pieces, all those blog, all the things that make the media up. Okay, not just like hard breaking news. Kevin Plank is having relations with a MSNBC reporter. Now, that's news, right? Or that Robert Kraft news. Ooh. He's a patriot, I hear. So.
I was thinking of something else, but I can't. You know.
Sure. So you'll see all these thought pieces, but the market already knows that. And so you have to have some kind of process, okay, that gets you to the right answers. Where because that, if I was listening to this, I'd be like, okay, well, tell me what to do, jerk. You know, like I was going to swear at myself there. Like, tell me what to do that makes sense here. How do I get in on a trend? It really comes down to, if you want to know the secret of identifying the new market trends, you have to have a screening process that identifies the top stocks, okay? It's going to get dry, stock nerds. I planned a dry show for today. I apologize, but it's if you listen to what I'm about to say, there are secrets to the market about to be unlocked for you that maybe don't make sense. I'm about to connect the dots, so pay attention. Your screening process, if it's screening for like we do here in the shop, the top 5% fundamentally in the market and technically, so it's 5 and 5, 5%, top 5% fundamentally, top 5% technically, it tells you what the best performing companies are. The bedrock of stocks that go up in price are the fundamentals, sales, earnings, revenues. The technicals though, institutional support, price action, those types of things tell you, okay, great fundamentals, and the people that control the stock market, the institutions like mutual funds, pension funds, hedge funds, they're also buying
it. It's getting confirmed by
yes.
the technicals.
Yes.
Confirmation.
Yes. And so your
damn, I'm good.
Yep. And so your screening process alerts you to the next trend. Your screening process can't be, I heard Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC tell me to buy Under Armour. I like their shoes. It can't be that. Your screening process can come from, say, you know, I saw this article on all the gaming stocks, you know, EA, Take-Two, and Activision. But when I'm running my screens, they don't pop up. That's called a clue. This is what kept me out of them. This is why I didn't own one of them in 2018, because my screening process didn't present them to me as investable ideas. Your screening process, stock nerds, isn't to give you a cornucopia of stocks, isn't to give you a buffet. You're not Golden Corral of stocks.
If you're trying to eat everything.
That's not a screen, that's a buffet. Your screening process needs to give you just like a handful. Quite frankly, I don't want more than 5 to 10 of actionable ideas. The key word there is actionable. Like, I've got a list of names. Like, yeah, I'm watching these, but this is loose. I've got an actionable list where, you know what, when that presents itself, I'm going to go buy it. How many of you have that list? And so you have to...
Which changes, by the way.
Yeah, of course it does. Because when the facts change, you change. And so when the facts changed about Under Armour, you should have changed if you owned it. If the facts changed about the gaming stocks, you should have changed. But I buy what I know, Tim, and my kids are wearing Under Armour while gaming. What am I to do? It's called get a screening process, because you would understand that your hard-earned money could be made in other stocks by identifying the trend. Oh, man. I forgot a piece of information. Can you stall for me while I go?
Sure. Whoa.
Yeah, just stall. I'm going to leave. Here's this thing, stock nerds. Well, I need this next piece of information.
I got it.
Okay, go.
Well, you know, Tim was talking about the, you know, buy what you know crowd. From my own experience, I've been in this business for 25 plus years. So doctors tend to gravitate toward biotech and medical stocks because it's something they know. Hang on. Bankers will buy finance stocks. And computer guys, they're full of tech stocks.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, so I literally had to run to my office and get this.
Okay,
so this leads me to my next point about trend. I'm going to read to you an editorial from the Wall Street Journal, okay? I'm not adding anything. I'm not reading this for any benefit of, like, everyone who knows I'm apolitical when it comes to all of what I'm doing. It doesn't mean I'm an opinion. It just means that I don't bring it to the market. And those who know me, follow the videos. By the way, the video, the Stock Nerd video, already posted on revereasset.com. We make it free. You never have to subscribe. It shows you what we're doing. It shows you where we think the market is headed and how we're going to participate or not participate in the markets. And so I implore you to go watch that, revereasset.com. By the way, the strategies to which we're going to talk about here eventually after we educate you or that you see on the videos, all you have to do is call 855-REAL-WEALTH and you can find out. We have five. Go to Revere Asset beforehand. There's five portfolios that we manage. We never custody any assets. The strategies are outlined on the webpage, and just call us over the weekend if you want to take part in our strategies. It's really simple to do. We answer the phones on the weekends because that's when you are available. And you're not going to get a salesperson. We don't have any. You're going to get Danny. Listen, we don't advertise. Everything is because of you wanting to come on board because you know there's a better way out there. So I'm going to read to you, okay, about finding an inkling of an idea for a trend. You ready? So I'm tying this all together loosely. Now, I don't think very well, but loosely. So this is about Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York State, okay, New York. And what is known as the SALT tax, the standard deduction that you're allowed to take, well, that changed, okay? So this, I'm reading an editorial, folks. This isn't me pontificating on an editorial. Spare a thought this week for the beleaguered underclass known as Albany politicians. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is heading to Washington to beseech President Trump and restore the tax deduction that has propped up the Empire State's, wow, profligate spending for decades. Let's hope the president doesn't fall for it. Mr. Cuomo was blaming the state's $2.3 billion budget shortfall on a political party that doesn't run the place. He says the state is suffering from declining tax receipts because the GOP Congress, as part of the tax reform in 2017, limited the state and local tax deductions to just $10,000. What it does is it has created two different tax structures in this country, Mr. Cuomo said Monday, and it has created a preferential tax structure in Republican states. It has redistributed wealth in this nation from Democratic states to red states. In reality, the once unlimited deduction allowed those in high tax climes to mitigate the pain of state taxes. This isn't a political statement. I'm going to get to trend here. It amounted to a subsidy for progressive policies. President Trump has said he might be open to revising the cap, and as with much else, who knows how serious he is. But that would be an enormous political economic mistake. Mr. Trump succeeded where President Ronald Reagan couldn't in broadening the tax base. Taxpayers can still write off $10,000, which means those with modest means are spared a tax increase. The Tax Foundation reported last month that repealing the cap would almost exclusively provide tax relief to the top 20% of income earners, the largest tax cut going to the top 1% of earners. The government would lose $600 billion over 10 years. This would be the first time in years that a Democrat has said the government needs less money or that the rich need a tax cut. The real problem is New York's punitive tax rates, which Mr. Cuomo and his party could fix. Okay.
I'm just laughing.
I know. This is the part to pay attention to. People are mobile, Mr. Cuomo said last week, and they will go to a better tax environment. That is not a hypothesis. That is a fact. Maybe Mr. Cuomo should stay in Albany and do something about that reality. So now, the part I want to focus in on is people are mobile. So you get, I like to make fun of Charles Schwab. Charles Schwab is fun to me because they have this horrible commercial that runs, you get an idea. You don't know where it came from, but it's 4 a.m. and you're going to spring out of bed and you're going to go down and you're going to go to your computer and you're going to turn it on and you're going to go make money in the market. And it's the furthest thing from the truth. Every commercial, everything that you've been marketed to in this industry, which I loathe, if you haven't picked up on it, I loathe the industry. I love what I do. I love our clients. I loathe the industry. It's the presumption of success that you're going to step up. You're going to buy some Under Armour. Unbeknownst to you, Kevin Plank, who may or may not be having relations with Stephanie Ruhle of MSNBC, is taking advice on how to run his entire organization from a freaking newsreader and not the management of his company. Your son or daughter plays video games and you're going to go buy them. And you saw a Schwab commercial that said, you're going to wake up and make money because that's how the markets work, damn it. The presumption of success is the biggest lie in the stock market. And this place has got a lot of them. So I read that word mobile. People are mobile. Mm-hmm. And I want to, and I've been thinking about trend and I've been thinking about how to present First Price and News a little bit more cleanly to you stock nerds and market lovers. And it got me thinking, well, let me just see what would trend look like if people are mobile. Where would I want to invest? Where would I want to buy stocks? And I can do year to date, or I can do the last 365 days. And I think year to date is a little unfair because the people have been moving for a while. When it says people are mobile, what does that mean? People are moving to states with less tax restrictions, such as Tennessee, Florida, and Texas come to mind. All those states have really exceeded their population numbers, you know, that they're projected because of these high tax, these people moving from the high tax environments. Virginia, which is not known as a low tax environment, is benefiting because it's lower than where?
New York and New Jersey.
Yep. So, well, Tim, if people are moving, well, what would stock nerds tell me stocks are to buy? Like, I just, you know, a little hypothesis. What would stock nerds say? You know, you should go buy this stock. Walmart, you know, when you move, you got to go to Walmart, right? And you got to go buy something. And so, well, no, you see, my screening process would have told me to avoid Walmart. I did own Walmart in 2018 and sold it promptly because Walmart's only up 1% over the last year. Target is down 4%. But you get this from your screening process, like, wow, these things aren't good. Like, why, if people are mobile and they're moving, well,
and they're not good now.
They're not good now.
They may be later.
Yeah.
Or in the
when
past.
The facts change, I'll change.
Yeah.
But a lot of you will try to say, well, the stores will benefit because that's where people go to restock their homes when they move. Kohl's down 1% over the last 365 days. Well, I saw my kid go into GameStop to pick up some more games because I told them we're moving and we're leaving all his friends behind. Yeah, GameStop's down 30%. Mm. But how about things that you take with you? Netflix. My screening process turned up Netflix. Well, Tim, that's not really a stock you move with. No, it's a service you don't get rid of when you move. That's up 30% over the last 365 days. Amazon plus 10%. Apple's down about 0.25%. Google doesn't really matter. It's up 0.3%. That has nothing to do with it. You know, you search for things along your route. That's how that ended up in my, doesn't make my screen. But then I thought, well, what about something that you always need whether you move or not? And I started looking around and I came up with what? Something we own. Alta. It's not a moving stock. It's up 52% over the last 365 days. And I thought they're gonna crucify me in stock nerd and market lover world if I bring up Alta. So let me bring it back down to something like Restoration Hardware, which you might fancy yourself going into if you want to refurbish your home, up 60%. So, well, Tim, take it a step further. Are there any other smaller companies that might make this list? Yeah. How about Etsy? Etsy up 163%. Get the crafty type things for your home. Mm-hmm. How about eBay? Buy some things on eBay, up 30%. Maybe you need some new duds because it's warmer climes. Stitch Fix, up 50%. And so then I thought, well, they're going to, for those last 4 years, the stock nerds are surely going to crucify me, saying, you're just cherry picking winning stocks. I'm like, no, I was screening for, and I was trying to keep it to one genre. And then, you know, like the moving genre isn't that great. Well, Tim, what about Zillow and all those other things? Eh, whatever. Redfin, eh. How about Ryder Trucks? Move it yourself, right? 30% to the upside. And so, yeah, like, and does that mean I want to buy these things? Mm-mm. No, it just means that my screening process will identify what's trending. And if I had a hypothesis that said, well, if everybody's moving, I need to get in on, I should have put Redfin and Truly on there, Redfin and Zillow, because they're not good. But the store stocks are not good. It's specialty retail that's good. And so my point here is, if you got a hypothesis, it's only proven out by screening. Your hypothesis, when you get a thought about what should be going higher, it's nothing but a wasted word or thought if you don't take the next step to say, what are my screens showing me? Because that's where you find out the answers to your stock market questions. That's why you don't hear Danny and I kvetching about, boy, those, yeah, you ever heard, Danny's never heard me say this, but I know you haven't ever heard Danny or I say, boy, those stocks aren't treating us well. No, they don't have to. And how you get out of that mindset is screen. You have to screen. And if you screen for some of the best merchandise in the stock market and they don't do what you think they should be doing, you know what that tells you to do? Sell. And when you make it that simple, this difficult endeavor gets just a little bit easier. And so what about, well, I can't, some of these, someone would say, I tried to think of what somebody would say, some of these stocks, I can't buy Etsy. It's up 163%, Tim. And? Because people rebel at the notion that stocks making new highs, they don't understand that they tend to go higher. Because you've been lied to by the market. When you've heard the Buffett saying, when the streets are full of blood, you should be buying. I just butchered that, but you get what I'm saying. It's the biggest lie.
When there's blood running in the streets, you should be buying.
One, if there's blood running in the streets, you got bigger problems. Two, I want to buy stocks that are continuously making new highs because I understand supply and demand. When people say, I'm going to buy it at a pullback, I'm going to buy it when it's lower, you're going to buy stocks that nobody wants. I'm not talking about a normal
pullback.
You're
not talking about a normal pullback until 21.
Yeah, I'm talking about stocks that are selling off.
You're talking about value buying, bottom fishing.
It's the worst. You're stuck with the Under Armours, the EAs, the Take-Twos, and the Activisions. That's how you end up in Kraft Heinz. Kraft Heinz hasn't been a leader and any time frame that I can track in my notes for years. It's down 40%, but some of you bought it because Warren Buffett owns it. What the hell? I don't care who owns it. I don't care if God owns it. Down 40% is down 40%. That whole buy what you know, or you track your, I joke around saying, TV icons will lose your money, meaning Carl. This is a prime example of it.
Well, he's selling to you because he may need to raise some cash for his next deal.
And that's
he was already in it.
And that's the point. And so this whole notion that of buy what you know will sink you more times, I think, than it will help you. That's my personal opinion. That doesn't mean I can't change my opinion. And when the facts change, I'll change.
you always don't know as much as the insiders.
Mm.
You don't.
That's true.
You think you do.
And then the next part here is stocks making new highs in uptrending markets, they actually tend to go higher. And that's why every night on the videos that I, when I do them 2 to 3 times a week, Don does the other days, I'm always pointing this out to you in consolidative form. I'm pointing out to you the consolidations of the market and these stocks, these leading stocks, so you can see the market through the prism of my eyes. And so that's how I approach it. Some of you want to buy the Under Armour because, well, it's fallen enough, it's got to go higher. Says who? Why does that have to go higher? Why does Take Two have to go higher? Well, they're playing the video games, damn it. No, price is telling you what the market thinks of this stock at the moment. You don't have to do anything with it. And so that gets me to my next.
And it may heat up later and it may start moving higher on volume, on buying volume. That's a much lower entry point.
Right, but that gets into a few other things. But I think stock nerds have been hindered by this. Look, I think the markets, I want to do a little bit of market stuff here. I think the markets have a chance to go up to 28.25 on the S&P 500. You're currently trading 27.85 or in and around there. And look, it doesn't have to do what I'm saying. I think it might do. I'm going to outline all this on the video this week if you haven't watched it. That's out Friday night. But it would appear that the market may want one more push before it retreats. And so the small caps have already exceeded the December 3rd highs. And small caps kind of led this whole rally. I tend to think that they're going to take you up to the December 3rd highs. And then I think there's going to be a huge battle there. And so that makes a natural pausing point, but that doesn't mean you have to sell. And so if you want to know the leading stocks to which I'm looking at, what we're doing with the stocks in our portfolio, just watch the video, revereasset.com. It's free. Right top, in the very top third of the page in red, it tells you daily market insight. Click on it. And then you can watch all the videos we do every week. We never pull them down. So stocks making new highs tend to go higher, like Boeing.
No overhead resistance.
Yeah, that's, I'm telling you, the supply and demand feature of this. And if you don't understand any of that, and I've explained it before, but we get a ton of new listeners to the show, just email us, dan@revereasset.com or tim@revereasset.com or call us 855-REAL-WEALTH, especially if you want a portfolio review. So I want to do this, Dan. I want to read you an answer to a letter.
Okay.
But I'm going to use this as the outro because what I'm about to share with people, I think is really helpful on a show that we're doing today. Yeah, take us out. And Dan's going to roll the credits, and then I'm going to come back.
I got you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Folks, if you like what you heard, please tell a friend, tell a neighbor. You check out our research at revereasset.com. You can sign up for our daily market newsletter, and also our this podcast will be delivered to your inbox as soon as it's sent out. We won't spam you. We won't even do anything with your email. We don't even look at it. It's just a way for you to get automatically notified with it when it's ready. Alternatively, you can just go to revereasset.com. You can also email us at dan@revereasset.com, tim@revereasset, or don@revereasset.com. And if you want to call us old school, you can call us at 855-REAL-WEALTH.
So I leave you with this, stock nerds. So we had a letter written this week to me, and interesting because it was about bias. And so when I reply to people, there's not a canned response that I ever, so if you write into me, you'll never get a canned response. Sometimes it takes me a while to get back to you just because I've got a lot to get to. But it's always from my heart, and it's always, if you get an email back from me, there's a really good chance you're going to get it back really early in the morning. So, well, it's because I get up.
No,
I get up. Tiny gets up at 4. I get up shortly thereafter at 4:15. I get the reprieve. And so someone goes, why the different times, Tim? She jumps in the shower first. And so, but I do my best writing in the morning. And so I'd gotten this email the evening prior, and it was about bias and some questions around that. And so I'm going to write to you what I wrote to the person. I sent it at 5:42 in the morning on the 21st. And I say good morning to the person. And I'm just going to read you the answer. You can fill in what you think the words were there that he wrote to me, but I'm just going to give you the answer. I'm not going to give you the letter that he wrote. I'm going to give you the answer that I wrote back to him. Good morning, Joe. You've given me one of the best compliments I could ever receive. You feel like you know me from watching the videos and listening to the podcast. I produce both with empathy in my heart. Investing can be a difficult wear and tear on the mind. I try to provide the utmost transparency while explaining things the way I would want them explained, uncomplicated and with the care that the concepts are understood. In this regard, you've made my day. I'm apolitical for a reason. It's unhelpful to my market process. I have a dual mandate at the shop, protect clients' wealth and then grow it, in that order. Approaching the markets with an opinion of how politics should shape the price of equities and indices is just as wrong as someone who holds a stock that has fallen 50% in price for fundamental reasons. As you know, what I have just stated is easy to say and hard to do for some people. That's why I like using video as the main medium for our transparency. Every night on a video, we show you what's happening and have to interpret the information honestly, even if it means talking about positions or ideas that aren't working out. If the sky is red on a chart, I certainly can't call it blue and expect you to believe it. Bias in our society can be hurtful. Bias in the market can destroy wealth. Every day, everyone in our shop asks a simple question. What is the price of equities and indices asking me to do today? Get long / stay long? Or harvest profits and exit markets? If you've been watching our videos and listening to our podcast, you've seen the result of this mindset play out in real time. The price question posed every day is a check and balance against bias. It stops anyone from entering information into the conversation that simply doesn't matter. The price question that I developed has been a blessing as society has become more politically charged. The question calms clients. They now look at markets without fear. They can look at them factually and have a discussion with anyone in the shop about what the evidence of price is saying and not what their favorite news channel or personality is saying. The price of stocks and markets shapes the news. It's rarely the other way around. If you're inclined, I think a training session with me is in order. I'd like to show you how I use the intercorrelated assets to monitor markets during the day, how I assess market conditions, my screening process for the stocks and markets we enter, and our selling process. I think this is the best way to alleviate any concern or fear about bias and answer questions. Okay. Our approach is unique to the market. I know. I'm unique in this space. The market demands that I ask questions and approach it without ego. It's very similar to how I flew a helicopter in the Marine Corps. The helicopter didn't care if I was the ace of the base or the worst pilot in the squadron. It begged you every minute to assess the conditions of the helicopter, assess the risk outside the helicopter, and to make decisions. Just like the helicopter where the ego of so many took the lives of some great pilots, the market will kill you and do the same thing. And then I go on to send him a goodbye.
We'll talk to you next week on Your Money.